Blog Talk Radio.
Great joy and good afternoon, my friend. The Nepalese meditation bowl is chiming, centering your mind and delight on The Art of the CEO, the show that brings you the wisest counsel and most fascinating people in the business community from all around our terrestrial orb. I am Bart Jackson, your hieronymous Bosch of business. And about 3 years ago, the visionary Ms. Robbie Kelman Baxter came on our show, and we debated her first book, The Membership Economy, to see whether it was a major societal change or just some new marketing ploy. Well, I think we each walked away thinking we won, but since that time, whatever result, thousands of businesses, literally, new and established, have transformed into this membership subscription model, and they're cashing in like never before. Now, once again, the perceptive visionary Robbie Baxter has turned her observation into a practical guide, and she's got this upcoming book called The Forever Transaction, which is guiding you and your company into this lucrative business model that fits so profitably with our new age. So whether you're considering a complete product distribution from direct sale on into subscription, or you're just seeking one more effective way to bring your goods to market, pull up your chair and join us for this feast of wisdom, all carefully cuisined to make your career thrive and your ventures flourish. Robbie, so glad to have you back with all your insights on the Art of the CEO. And these are insights to which we will definitely subscribe.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back. I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you could come. And, Robbie, just help us understand, kick it off, help us understand, other than the title of your upcoming book, what is the forever transaction? And how does it differ from the traditional business transaction?
So a traditional business transaction ends at the moment that the money exchange hands. So you go out,
right. You
find a customer, you do all the work of identifying them, bringing them in, educating them, getting them to the cash register, and then they disappear again, mm-hmm. and you have to go find them if you want to continue the relationship. With the forever transaction,
right.
that moment of transaction is the beginning of a long-term profitable relationship between the customer and the organization.
Yeah. I see. Okay, so that really, it's a lot less work for mother, and it really does, it's a way of making your labor pay off, I guess. Yeah. Well, just to sort of capture the sense of this transformation model, could you give us one example of a company that used to sell products one at a time off the shelf and has now made the successful shift into subscribership?
Well, so nearly every consumer products company right now is trying to do that. One example,
uh-huh.
Unilever bought Dollar Shave Club for,
uh-huh.
I believe, about $1 billion, both because that model itself had legs, the idea of subscription access to products that you use every day, razors, razor blades, shaving
right.
Equipment, and so on, but also to learn the skills, to bring in-house the skills that are required to go direct to consumer and to build an ongoing relationship with that consumer. So that's an example. Another example is Amazon, which started, if we all remember, way back when, as a purveyor of books. You'd go onto their website
right.
and you would buy a book or a few books. Online bookstore. Now, Amazon Prime, that membership, we pay basically a subscription fee to have access to an array of features and benefits that make our shopping better, but also provide benefit on their own. So free shipping is kind of the Trojan horse that gets you in, but then they also provide you access to their video content, to storage, to music, to Kindle titles. So that's a really great example of a new economy business that has evolved to subscription.
I see. Okay. Well, I keep hearing, you're right about Amazon doing this, and I keep hearing about how these new business methods are all very attractive to the young. But I'm wondering if it has to stop there. I mean, if I am a boomer, I'm brought up on the old hippie belief that possessions are a trap, or even if I was a yuppie raised in the 80s, 90s on the idea that he who dies with the most toys wins, can the forever transaction, the membership, can that appeal to me, can that appeal to me as a client? And how about it? How do you do it?
So I believe that the concept of being treated like a member, of working with an organization that has your long-term best interests at heart and that prices accordingly, is appealing to almost anybody. And the reason is that instead of focusing on selling you a thing, whether that's a newspaper or a video or software or a bicycle, it's never the thing that we want. It's what the thing does for us. And if you can create a structure that allows me as a consumer to get the value, even if the product itself changes over time, I'm going to be loyal to you. And it doesn't matter if I'm 22, 52, 72, 92. I'm going to want an organization that's optimized around my needs and not just around their products.
Okay. I will accept what you said at the end and not at the beginning. I know some folks at least Unilever, and I can honestly assure you they do not have my interests at heart. Frankly, Scarlett, what they care about my interests. But I will agree that this whole idea of centering centering their delivery around what they can do for me is something that is new. And boy, am I going to fall for that like a ton of bricks. So that's great. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Art of the CEO radio show, which every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time pours into your eager ears, courtesy of the mysterious miasma of cyberspace. We may listen and download this episode and all of ours by tuning in, by visiting theartoftheceo.com. That's theartoftheceo.com. As an added avenue, you may also enjoy our shows on C-Suite Radio Station. We're proud members of the C-Suite Radio team, where new and profitable business pathways wing you into your house from every astounding angle. At any rate, just visit all our Art of the CEO episodes on csuiteradio.com. Now, Robbie, you've talked about Unilever with razor blades. You've talked and books and magazines and videos and so forth. We know it works for these firms. But what about things like financial lenders and farmers and accountants? Who is the subscriber model made for? I mean, is some firms that should take it and some firms that should steer clear of it?
So I've thought a lot about this. Is the kind of question at the core of what I'm doing. I'm always trying to think, well, who is this not for? And it's not for you if you don't have to market your product and you don't depend on good quality sales and marketing to close business. So if you have a patent on the drug that I need, you don't have to be nice to me because I have to buy from you. If you're the last gas for 100 miles, I'm going to buy gas for you no matter what kind of relationship we have or don't have. But if your business
lungs. Okay,
depends
I got that.
On relationship. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So what you're saying is the other 99.999% of all things out there that do have to be marketed and that do have competition and so forth, everybody. So me, the farmer, me, the accountant, me, the hedge fund, we can all move into the subscription model profitably, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You start by taking a step back and saying, who am I serving and what is my promise to them? And then you say, how do I continue to layer in value? How do I continue to layer in value to help them achieve their goal? And if I keep layering in value to help you achieve your goal, likelihood is you're going to keep buying from me. And at some point you're going to say, Robbie, just whatever it is that you think I should be doing, just give it to me and bill me because I trust you.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if you're the person who's keeping my house looking beautiful, if you're the person that's helping me run my business well and giving me good advice, or you're the person that's helping me find great music. whatever it is. I don't want the bike. I want the ability to go for bike rides and have fun outside or get where I need to go,
right.
Whatever the reason is that drove me to buy the bike.
Okay. Well, now, suppose I have this loyal client base. What are just some of the considerations that you have seen firms undertake I love that term, layering in value, great term. What are some of the values laid in that you've seen work for various firms?
Oh, there's so many great examples. SurveyMonkey, for example, which are, tools for businesses to survey their customers, right? They started with just a simple survey, right? You could create your own questions and send it out to your own email list. But over time, layered in more and more sophisticated analytical tools that are actually the things that market researchers need. They've also created the ability for companies to brand their surveys. And for somebody, probably some guy in marketing, to manage all the surveys and make sure that they're consistent. They're using a shared library of terms and images. Kind of layer in more and more value. Another example, we talked about Amazon. Amazon started with just books, and then it was books and everything. And then they started to layer in all kinds of other benefits, two-day shipping, the ability to store your content, the ability to borrow or use or access their content, the ability for other retailers to be part of this community so that when I, the consumer, am shopping on their site, I don't have to go anywhere else because everything is there where I need it. Their forever promise is to remove all friction from all buying for customers. So, ideally that means I think, I need a dress for Saturday night's wedding. That dress is in my closet ready to go, right? I don't have to do anything other than think of it and it's there. So they're not quite at mind reading, but, judging from what Alexa seems to be, understanding, it's pretty close.
Well, that is true. I only wish I could find something that well when I was dating, but that's a whole other story. Well, and so I go along this, and I see the layered value in, and it does. You just mentioned something. You're talking about Amazon. It does. Once you get into this subscribership, it does force you into continual, not just service increase, but growth, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The growth, the thing with growth is if you have to keep winning your customers over and over again, your growth is expensive because your marketing costs are so high. You often don't know enough about that customer, so you might be attracting customers that aren't very profitable customers for the long term. So is going to help you both expand the relationship with your existing customers, so increase lifetime value, and it's also going to allow you to learn about your best customers so that when you go out fishing for new customers, you have the right bait and you have the right offering. So all of that creates what I would call a virtuous cycle. Yeah, sorry.
No, that's good. But like all things there does sort of layer in something, the term I've heard you use, subscription fatigue. I am very interested in the new layer of value that you put into me, and they only go so far. It's and after a while, I feel, seen it all, but for whatever reason, increased commitment, subscribers are going to drop away. So how do I spot, once I've got my subscription group up, how do I sort of spot subscriber fatigue on the horizon? And one or two good tricks to sort of head it off at the pass.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of reasons for subscription fatigue. One of them is I don't want to be forced to subscribe to something that I'm better off just owning or being, pay by use. So the first right. thing is, when you're designing your subscription model, put yourself in the shoes of the customer and say, is this going to be better for them, or am I forcing them into something that my logic tells me they're not going to want? So that's step one, is that you actually, it's not enough to just say, okay, instead of, you know, I used to say you could buy this book, but now I'm going to say you have to subscribe to the book, so you have to pay me $10 a month for access to the book, right? You're going to say, well, wait, that doesn't make any sense at all, because once I've read the book, I don't need it anymore. So that's the first piece that drives
the decision. I found out the butler did it, I don't need it, I'm out of here.
Exactly. And then the second piece, which is sort of related, is that you don't want to be tricked into subscribing. So that's the second thing is, I just realized that I've been paying for Mac. I mean, I'm the subscription expert, and I have been paying for 4 years for McAfee virus protection for a PC. I don't even own a PC. We don't have a PC in our home. For the last 5 years, we haven't had one. And so for 5 years, I've been paying. I know that they know that I have not downloaded it onto any computer, and yet they continue to charge me. And to me, that is, while it is legal, it is unethical, because they know I'm getting no value. There is no way that they can say, well, maybe she's happy to know she has it if she ever decides to buy a PC. And so that leads to subscription fatigue, where you say, these guys are just trying to take advantage of me. They don't have my best interests at heart, and therefore I don't trust them. The minute you don't trust the company, the minute you say, oh, I don't believe that Unilever really has my best interests at heart, you're going to take their subscriptions with a grain of salt and be ready not to trust
them. Well, I want that. You're absolutely right on that. And I just sort of was thinking about this, and we all live the basic subscription model that all of us grew up with is magazines. And the thing about magazines is they are now, since they have conglomerated into these big subscription units, they have, I would say, of all businesses that I can possibly imagine, the worst quality control known to humankind on this planet. They're a joke. Everyone laughs about him. I buy a subscription of a magazine for Robbie, and I get two copies, Robbie gets none. And everyone knows this. It's the quality control. And I was just wondering, does that sort of sets a bad tone for all subscription, doesn't it? It's like thieving, right? It's thieving in an industry. It sets a bad tone, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It sets a bad tone. And the other thing is, magazines are in a funny position, because it used to be that they could sort of make the case that this was hard. And now you look at other companies that are doing things with subscription, that the level of sophistication and complexity that they can manage accurately is mind-boggling. So you sort of get like what I call the Netflix effect, which is, well, Netflix can do it. Why can't you do it? Netflix gets me the movies, you know, streaming. And when they did DVDs, they got them to me the next day, and they never made mistakes. And if I didn't like it, they just sent me another one. And, you know, so I think that a lot of old line membership and subscription businesses have kind of shot themselves in the foot with their, at the time when they started, their packaging of value was the most sophisticated that was available. But now their packaging is outdated. And so when I say packaging, I mean the fact that magazines are in print, the fact that they're delivered through the mail and the newsstands, the fact that you get them once a month or once a week, the fact that the way that they can, you know, that it takes 6 weeks from the time you order the subscription for the first copy to go out. Like, at one point, that technology was the most sophisticated way to package the value, which is the content, right? Really interesting ideas being explored at an angle that appeals to you as a reader. Maybe even the fact that it's that it's words versus video, right? Or holograms.
Right.
So,
all right. I'm glad you brought that up. I really am. Robbie, but quickly, just give us a one-sentence thumbnail description of the Forever transaction. Tell us when it's coming out and where we can get it.
The book, The Forever Transaction, is coming out in spring of 2020. It will be available everywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your independent bookseller. 1-800-BOOKS, you name it, they'll have it. It's about how to do subscription and membership business models, no matter where you are in your journey and no matter what industry.
It sounds like an absolute must-have guide. Now, Robbie's going to continue to reveal the socially sensitive, I guess, way I call it, marketing pathways of subscribership, right after you and I take a brief sorbet from today's Feast of Wisdom, if you will, and allow me to offer you a few utensils for today's feast. So as first utensil, allow me to remind you that the good Lord has gifted you with the title and privileges of Chief Executive Officer of yourself. And since that's really the most important position you'll ever hold in your career, well, I'm going to ask, will this be the day that you look at one social injustice, something that really makes your blood boil and violates your chosen principles, and find one small way you can correct that offensive wrong? Or will you continue to grumble on feeding on nothing but your discontent and sense of powerlessness? The choice, my friend, is truly yours. And as a second utensil, I can sense you yearning to steep your lips into a little laughter and take a scriptural recitation from the 102 Best Business Quips book. So let's start from the back. Okay, here we go. This is number 89. I'm sorry. Can't fool me. I've been to college. This comes from an exasperated CEO. Frankly, Scarlett, I don't care if your strategy is disruptive, innovative, or on which side of the box it lands on. How much will it increase our earnings? What do you think, Robbie? You right here you are evangelizing the cutting-edge business method, but don't some of the old standard business practices and metrics still apply?
Yeah, absolutely. Product market fit, providing value for your customer, all of that, that's base case business 101. But with membership, mm-hmm. I think you're able to be held to a higher standard, which results in better earnings because you're focusing on lifetime customer value, and that's really about profitability of the relationship over time.
Right, right. Actually, it's true, and I think it's great. My own afterthought on that quip was that coworkers need to be encouraged and to conjure up any plan that bears fruit. But being outlandish or original or unsettling are not necessarily a bumper crop. The value is what really counts, and that's the good old-fashioned stuff that Robbie's talking about. So if you smirked a bit over that quip, we have them literally by the booksful. Just visit bartsbooks.com, pick up your copy of the 102 or the 101 Best Business Quips, and you may begin filling your labor-strained spirit with a little perceptive laughter and set your coworkers wondering what all that mysterious smile you keep bearing is all about. And as a third utensil, we sumptuously spoon to you the answer to last week's business quotation. That is, the name of the individual who said, a litigant is a businessman about to give up his skin in hope of retaining his bones. I love that. Anyway, those words were spoken by none other than the sardonically sage author of The Devil's Dictionary, Mr. Ambrose Bierce. So congratulations to all you winners. And stick with us, because later on in the show, Blurting Your Way, comes another enriching quotation. And if you're among the learned souls who knows the author of that quote, simply scribble that sage's name down as you believe him or her to be and email it right off to info@bartsbooks.com. That's info@bartsbooks.com. And if you're correct, your knowledge will earn you a mind and career igniting gift freshly disemboweled from the dungeons of Bart's Books bookstore. And the subscription economy's foremost guru, Robbie Kelman-Baxter, will reveal how to take your subscription sales and services overseas into foreign markets right after I make this introduction to you of the company by whose good graces we're here today. And that firm is Prometheus Publishing, who invites you to take good scrutiny of their latest volume. This is a little gem of a guide. It's called CEO of Yourself, Getting Down to the Business of Your More Rewarding Life. And let me ask you, who's making your life choices? Are you directing the enterprise of you, or have you fallen into default mode? And is this governance bringing you the more fulfilling life that you just know lies out there? Well, CEO of Yourself helps you discover your many marvelous assets, which you truly have, and employ them towards goals that are going to bring you a sense of mastery and a lot more fun. So, I've got a little caveat here. I should say CEO of Yourself is easy. It's not for weaklings. It makes you stand up. be chief executing officer, forming such things as your own principles, forging your own character, sculpting yourself into the effective person that you want to be. But if you've got that kind of fire in your belly, you go for it, my friend. Pick up your copy of CEO of Yourself. Carpe diem, my friend. You are indeed worth it. And now, with utensils in hand, let us return to our Feast of Wisdom as Robbie Kelman Baxter guides us into transforming one-time customers into full-time member subscribers. Forgive me. Now, Robbie, let's get to the big deal breaker right here. Pricing is obviously the toughest part of subscription selling, or at least it seems to me. If I sell bicycles to own, it's fairly easy for me to figure out my markup and work on percentages. But what are some of the pricing considerations and guides that I might need if I'm setting my bicycle out for a subscribership use?
Yeah, well, you want to take a step back and say it's not about the bicycle anymore. It's about the value I'm providing. And so are you just access to – so what is the problem you're solving and what is the value of solving that problem? That's one metric that you would use, right? So I might even pay half the cost of the value of the bicycle for the access to the bicycle at one really critical moment in a place where it would be really hard for me to bring my own bicycle. Rent the Runway does that very well. So, you know, I might borrow one of their outfits, use it one time and pay them, you know, $100 to wear it once because it's a $1,000 or a $500 dress. I might pay $200 a month to subscribe and get four items a month. So one of the ways to look at it is the value you're providing. And then you want to always make sure that you are netting out ahead of your own costs. The other thing is you can always layer in more on top of just the value of that, you know, access versus ownership of the bike. So there's a lot of tips and tricks of how to get to that right number, but it starts with the value that you're creating for the subscriber and your own costs.
You're looking at pricing from the idea of not what, again, taking it away from what from me and my product and myself to the value and the market value of the service. Is that really sort of the whole turn on it?
Yeah. Exactly. It's about the service, the value of the service. And it may not even be the same offering because you're starting with what's the problem I'm solving. And then you come up with a solution and then you put a price on it. Instead of saying, I have this bike and I want to do a subscription thing. That is the wrong way to go about pricing this.
I see.
It has to start with the reason.
Oh, very good. Well, I was worried. You mentioned it earlier. I said that you about clothes to wear once. This worried me a lot because when my wife said that she wanted to get a wedding gown that would be wash and wear, that was the first sign I knew we were headed for trouble. But I think she got Elizabeth Taylor's couturier. Anyway. Life goes on. In today's, you also mentioned something earlier, and I wanted to come back to this. Partnership is a great opening for all things subscriber because, again, you're solving a problem, and very seldom will one product handle it. In your marvelous newsletter, and that's the Subscription and Membership News, is that the right title?
Yeah.
No, okay, good. Go to Robbie's site. We'll get to and get that subscription membership news. It's worth reading. Anyway, it's an excellent letter. But you reported some issues back that how Uber was spreading its membership to food, bicycles, and scooters, and more. And so if I have a subscriber platform, how do I go about sifting through nearby businesses to come up with some potentially profitable candidates?
I'm sorry, candidates for – I didn't quite understand that.
Candidates for partnering businesses to move in on my subscription. I didn't say that very well. I'm sorry. You know, in other words, I have my bicycles and then I give maps and I give – you know, in other words, I'm looking for someone to move into – so you, couple with in this, in
yeah,
this
so,
subscription model.
So you start with the problem. So here's a great example. There's a company called Furnish, and that's, I think, F-E-R-N-I-S-H, Furnish. It's a furniture company that you can subscribe to. It's really targeting, you know, millennials who move, you know, maybe every 2 years early in their career.
Yeah.
You know, you're working as a consultant or a banker or in a management trainee program, and your boss says, hey, we have a great opportunity for you in L.A. What do you do with all that furniture?
Yeah, they're moving you
to
every division
well.
in the company, yeah.
Right. And so they're starting with furniture, but then they layered in accessories for the home because it wasn't just, you know, the couch and the bed and the dining room table. You also want paintings for the walls and lamps and all the other throw rugs and all of that. But now what they're, you know, they're also looking at, well, gosh, if you're going to make a move, there's a whole bunch of other services that you're going to need as well. Like somebody's got to turn off your utilities, filling up your new house with all of the cleaning supplies you're going to need and filling your fridge with the basics. And there's like a whole list, a laundry list of things that you do when you leave one home and go to a new home. So why not add that on and say, what does that 6 weeks look like before and after the move? And how else can we, if our forever promise is we make moving easier or we make it easy for your house to feel like home, those are all the things, like suddenly it opens up possibilities of all the things that you can layer in. And whether you layer them in yourself or you partner with somebody else who can provide those services, that matters less than providing the customer, the member, with the full experience.
Oh, I like this more and more. This is excellent. Now, supposing the very model that you're talking about, and that I like the fact that you brought about the discernibility of whether you handle it yourself or you get a partner to do it, and that's just good old common business due diligence. But what about, speaking of partnering, moving on into, shall we say, some economically adventurous nations outside our own. Where are there any fertile shores that might be my best bet to move if I have a subscription model countries might be most receptive?
Yeah, well, so a bunch of interesting things going on globally. So the first one is that subscription companies in the U.S., are aggressively trying to get into every market and get their footprint in place before others. So we just saw, for example, Netflix with, a $3 a month mobile-only subscription for India because they want people in India to be familiar with the brand and to, you know, prefer Netflix, make that their forever transaction rather than, you know, any of the other streaming digital content companies. So that's one thing is how do you get your global footprint in place? And it sometimes requires different pricing, different deals. It's easier, let's say, for a Netflix than for like an HBO because HBO has so much infrastructure in third-party partners, because they've been going through, cable and satellite and all of that. So it's a little harder to do the direct thing in different markets. But those are some of the questions. Mm. And then the other thing that's really interesting about these models is that in many cases, it's much cheaper and easier to test and experiment. So we're seeing entrepreneurs pop up. I mean, I've spoken in the last year in Korea and in Milan and Barcelona and Colombia and New Zealand. So 5 years ago when I was writing this book, I had a really hard time finding examples of companies globally that were doing membership models and subscription other than kind of the traditional newspaper, magazine, or, membership clubs and associations. Now, Spotify is from Sweden. They're one of the most successful global membership brands. So
So I got to tell you, just as a personal comment, I'm not surprised at all about New Zealand. They are one of the most can-do countries that will try anything once. It's a lot like me at a bar. Anyway, it's great. Now, Robbie, supposing now, just as one more question, is supposing that I just can't wait for your forever transaction to come out in February 2020. I want this now. How do I get in touch with you to coach me on this new and really exciting subscribership platform?
Well, I'm very easy to find, whether you're on Twitter, Robbie Bax, LinkedIn, Robbie Baxter, or, you know, if you go to The Membership Economy, it's the name of my first book, or you go to peninsulastrategies.com. You can find me, easy to find me, and just give me a call.
Could you say the name of that website just one more time?
Peninsulastrategies.com.
All righty. Great. Wonderful. I just want to make sure. So if you are wise, this is something new, something that is embracing something old. It is a quill pen moment that Robbie has been talking about all the time. That is a timeless truth of business. So I'd like you to take out your pens, dip them into the your inkwell, and jot this down. That the more service you can provide the customer, the more the customer will stay loyal to you. Sounds simple, but it's an old, old business truth that is now coming in on a new expanded platform. And the visionary who is showing it all is Robbie Kelman Baxter. Robbie, thanks so much for coming on. It's been great. I've learned a ton. So.
Oh, pleasure. So much fun. It's always fun to talk to you.
You're very kind. Well, I think we'll have to have you back on, particularly when the new book comes out. So as we round out today's feast, I am Bart Jackson, your curator of business wisdom, leaving you with today's business quotation. That is, who was it who said, every poor designer can go with things that are popular at the moment? As a hint, this renowned fashion designer comes from a blend of Russia's and Italy's elite, and he had all the women loving him because he believes that fashion should consider a woman's wonderful anatomy, his own words. So if you know the name, the author of this quote, just scribble that author's name down as you believe it to be and send it right off to info@bartsbooks.com. That's info@bartsbooks.com to win an absolutely career-changing gift from the Dungeons of Bart's Books bookstore. And as a parting shot, in the words of my wife's husband, greed is the emotion of the fearful and unsure, those centering all their energies around their own need. But hope is the emotion of the visionary who sees sparks of potential in all things and aches to roll up her sleeves and create. What guides you, my friend? And to you, gleefully sharing our feast, I hope you've enjoyed The Art of the CEO as much as Robbie and I have enjoyed bringing it to you. And remember that you may download this and all our shows by visiting theartoftheceo.com. And finally, to you, who've honored us with your time, may I say, as always, it has been a privilege, and I thank you.